broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
All right, coming up in this hour, a return, a very fond return of a character that we haven't had on our program for a long time, Frodo the Puppet, coming up in our next segment. And it's been a while, bud, hasn't it?
Yeah, last time you had Frodo on, I don't know.
Yeah, I think the last time you had Frodo on, you had the studio.
You're right. We were in our other studio, which was in Westlake Village, which is about, 10 miles to the southwest of us here. Westlake Village is closer to the L.A. metro area. We're out on the beach now, where our studio is, here at the El Pacifico. But, yeah, that's the last time we had Frodo the Puppet on. So it'll be fun to have Frodo on. He's going to be asking me about the Anderson Cooper story. And
but I don't know. That's pretty adult matter.
It is adult matter. But Frodo, you know, that's the whole reason why we have Frodo the Puppet on, because he represents innocence. And how do we deal with innocence and at the same time sort of bring innocence into the world?
Well, I just hope that you have a renewed, I guess I'm trying to use the right word, a renewed relationship with him, because the last time you pounded it.
Yeah, you did pound it pretty good.
What do you mean, pounded it?
By the puppet.
Oh, well, no, yeah.
Yeah, you beat hell out of it, and you beat him up and everything.
Yeah, I did, and I will warn the audience, I got into a state, I don't know what happened, but the puppet asked a question that was rude, and I know it's essentially, I understand he's a puppet. All I can tell you is I must have had some kind of a nervous condition, but I beat up the puppet, I destroyed it, and in the process, I beat up my own, you know.
Yeah, you broke your hand.
I broke three bones in my hand because a puppet is on your hand.
Why'd you do that? Everybody want to know.
Because it was a stupid thing to do. What can I tell you? The puppet said something I didn't like. I beat hell out of the puppet, and actually what I was doing was destroying my own hand.
I mean, that's like something out of, what that show you talk about?
Yeah, The Outer Zone, or ain't that what it is?
What do you mean, the outer zone? You talk about Outer Limits?
No.
Yeah, the one about Rod Serling.
Rod Serling, Twilight Zone.
Yeah. That's like right out of the Twilight Limit or Zone. When a guy pounded out his puppet?
Yeah.
Don't get smart with me, man, because I know what you're doing.
Man, he slipped that one in, didn't he?
I'm going to beat somebody when he pounded out his puppet.
He did, right on TV.
I'm going to kick your ass. Anyway, don't ever get angry at a hand puppet and forget that it's on your hand, because you'll wind up...
Give it up, man. I don't think anybody's going to have that problem.
Yeah, you might as well give that one up.
Oh, is that right? Well, guess what, man? I'm warning people that you should never, ever... What do you got now? You got David on the line?
Yeah, what do you think?
David...
Look at Phil, I'm sorry, but I heard you say just then the magic words, and I had to get on the line, you know.
What magic words? I'm just telling people that what the experience, where are you at anyway?
I'm at a dealer show here, okay? This is radio equipment. I'm in Las Vegas right now. This thing's going all night. Some of the most high-tech equipment in the world. I'm here to buy some equipment for your studio, but if you're on the air telling people don't beat up a puppet, do you understand that one doesn't follow the other?
And what does that mean, one doesn't follow the other?
If you've lost your mind, why do I want to buy radio equipment for you?
Yeah, Mr. Hall, everything I was saying.
No, you weren't. You weren't. You guys were laughing about...
Well, Bud was trying to warn you, right?
No, he was not. He was laughing about... they were using the phrase, beat up your puppet.
Yeah, Mr. Hall.
Yeah, so what?
They were laughing about it, double entendre.
Well, I don't know, but all I'm saying is, if you're on the air and you're telling people, hey, folks, remember, don't beat up a hand puppet because it's on your hand, there's no point in me buying equipment. What I need to do is make sure that you're fully insured. You do have health insurance, right?
Yes, I have health. What does that mean? You're going to have to put me away?
72-hour observation. See, most of the...
Don't put... Bud, how many times do I got to tell you?
Mr. Hall said you said it's okay.
To talk about stuff that's pertinent, not have him come on here and tell me that he's got to put me in a nut house.
Well, what do you think, man?
Hey, just take it easy. All right. In any event, welcome to the News and Information Hour here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Some pretty bizarre stuff to report on. We have Hollywood. We also have some science. Were we going to get Dr. Ron Tarner on to talk about the God particle, or is that just too bizarre for words? I don't know. Right now in Mexico, all official signs point to the fact that they've chosen a new president. And this new president is Enrique Peña Nieto. He's the president-elect, 6 points ahead. But the second-place candidate, Andrés Manuel López Obrador, is saying there's fraud, baby. F-R, however you spell fraud. I'm kidding. F-R-A-U-D. And
sure, that's how you spell it?
Yes. And Mr. Nieto, for his part, has thanked voters for giving his PRA party another chance and has vowed no return to the past. But Mr. López Obrador has not ruled out challenging the result. They call him a, quote, leftist candidate, and former mayor of Mexico City has passed form on this front, launching months of street protests in 2006 after losing the last election to Felipe Calderon. Mr. Nieto, 45 years of age, declared himself the winner of Sunday's presidential election after a preliminary count. He promised to govern with and for all, saying he would honor the PRI's second chance with a new style of governing. The PRI is an old line political party in Mexico that had a virtual grip on power, like an oligarchy almost, for 71 years. It just won every election year in, year out, you know, month in, month out, day in, day out. And Mexico was, you know, not all that much better off for it. It's a country that has been slow in developing. It's a country that exploited its natural resource of oil when they had the big oil strike, but they haven't really been able to exploit that to the extent that it's been a massive economic turnaround for the country. The people there are still, for the most part, widely separated in terms of their economic status. You've got some really poor people in Mexico and really rich people in Mexico, and not a whole hell of a lot of a middle class. You've also got now these drug cartels that are running things, so the whole thing stinks, you know. And this PRI, you could talk all you want about how the political action party, which was Vicente Fox and this guy Calderon, how the drug cartels took hold while they were in power. But the fact of the matter is they've always been there, and they've been doing business and been doing business very comfortably for a long time, and they were doing it most comfortably under this PRI.
Dad, I mean, well, you don't like them?
No, I don't like them. I understand how voters are going to say, well, it's been, 12 years now since the political action party took power, and there ain't a whole hell of a lot that's gotten better. There's been economic stagnation, but that's global. That's got nothing whatsoever to do with the politics of Mexico. And so they decided what every voter decides. This was what voters do. They get tired of going, oh, let's go back to the other guys. Well, okay. These are the guys that had the cozy deal with the drug dealers, just so you know.
Yeah, watch out, man. If you ever go down to Mexico and they find out who you are and they stop you for, like, running a red light, they go, hey, this is Phil Hendry. I'm going to put him in jail unless you come up with a big, you know, bribe. And
it ain't going to matter whether I'm Phil Hendry, and I still got to come up with a big bribe. What are you, crazy?
What are you saying, man? You better watch out.
It doesn't matter. What are you, crazy or something? They don't know who I am. I go down there and I get stopped by a cop. I'm going to have to pay the bribe regardless, like I always have. I mean,
Oh, so you have paid off bribe.
I never did. One time, it was just a very small, it was...
But you do. Yeah, I bet you paid off a Tijuana cop.
Yeah, I did. As a matter of fact, anyway, folks.
Yeah, tell everybody the story, man.
It's not much of a story. I got stopped for some making a bad turn. The cop pulled me over. And I said, how much is the fine? And he said, $20. And I said, here. And that was it. How do you call that a bribe?
Are you kidding me, man? You're supposed to go to court and everything.
Yeah, that's a bribe.
Why? I asked him, how much is the fine? He said, $20. I said, here. How's that a bribe?
You ain't supposed to do that.
I don't know. How do I know? I'm in a foreign country.
Yeah, you knew you was paying that cop off.
Hey, wait a second. What did I say to the cop?
You said... But you knew what you was doing.
No, I didn't. No, I did not. I said to the cop, oh, well, officer, I'm sorry. I'm on my way back to the States, you know, California, and I ran the red light, yeah? And he goes,
what did he say, man? That's the most important thing.
He goes, yeah, it was a violation of penal code, blah, 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 blah. And he starts writing out his ticket. And I go, well, how much is the fine?
Yeah, he's writing out a ticket, and that means you're going to go down to the jail.
Yeah, you better believe he's probably going to arrest me.
For running a red light?
I didn't run a red light. I forget what it was. I think I turned right on a red or some bull crap. He wasn't going to arrest me. He wasn't going to arrest me because I had the money all ready to go. I said, how much is the fine? He said, $20. I said, there you go. He goes, thank you, sir. Have a nice day. And you guys call that a bribe. How dare you?
Man, that's a bribe.
Just in case you tuned in late, we're talking about a Mexico cop, which I got no disrespect for the Mexico cops. You know, as Jake Gittes said, we all got to swim in the same water.
Man, that's so corrupt. You promoted corruption.
God, man. I'm going to get you into the doctor and have an EEG run on you.
Why?
I didn't promote corruption, dude. I was trying to get my ass out of Mexico and back to the States, and I don't care how. That's the way they do business, man. You think that Phil Henry's going to change it? Forget it. All right.
You're going to do that again, man, and now they're going to put you in jail.
Oh, you guys, what do you guys think they got down there, man? Super federales? They're like listening to my show, waiting for me to go down there on vacation so they can throw my ass in jail. All right, we'll be right back. Frodo the Puppet coming up here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show. Listening to the world famous Phil Henry Show.
And now, the Phil Henry Show presents Frodo the Puppet. Yes, a segment of our program where Phil tries to answer the tough questions of life for little Frodo the Puppet. And Frodo, welcome back. Haven't seen you in a while.
Hi, Mr. Henry. I'm really, really happy to be on the program. I didn't know you'd ever bring me back. I'm really, really happy.
I'm happy you're here, Frodo, and we're going to try to answer your questions. Where you been?
Well, Mr. Henry, I've been in the place where little puppets stay and children do, and it's just in a make-believe place where puppets go and children go to get the puppet, you know?
It's just a kind of one of those places that grown-ups don't know about, huh?
No, grown-ups don't know of the places that I go to and the little kids and everything.
What is your question? I know you wanted to ask something, and one of the reasons why we have you on the program, Frodo, is to ask questions that are, I guess, adult in nature.
Well, yes, sir, Mr. Henry, because I'm confused by a lot of things that are going on. And one thing is Mr. Cooper, and he said he's gay and everything, and I understand that.
Okay.
But didn't you say that gay people are not, they're not dangerous to children or anything, right?
That is absolutely correct, Frodo. Gay people are no more dangerous as a whole than straight people are. They are people, and you should not see them as dangerous to children. Perhaps that was the thinking a long time ago, you know.
Well, I understand that, Mr. Henry, and I'm glad to know that. That means you're not gay then, right?
Well, what does that mean, that means?
Well, you touched my butt.
All right, turn the music off. You going to pull this stuff again?
I didn't do anything.
What do you mean? And why are you looking at Bud? Here we go again with the two of you guys.
What?
I see the two of you looking at each other.
Well, he didn't put me up to it.
Oh, he didn't, huh? So what's that mean, I ain't gay and I touched your butt?
Just kidding around.
Yeah, what's the problem?
You know what? What did I tell you about freelancing?
Oh, come on, man. This is a real dry bit. What?
Hey. Bud, I can see you looking at him, and the two of you guys got together just before this bit, and you said, let's do something, you know.
I swear.
You swear. You swear.
I swear to God.
Oh, Mr. Henry, just asked a question. I'm sorry.
Uh-huh. I didn't touch your butt, so quit with that. You're a puppet. You understand? I know I'm a puppet. I have that much self-awareness.
Good.
And now Phil Hendry and Frodo the Puppet.
Mr. Hendry, I know what you said about gay people, and they're just like every other people's, right?
That's exactly right, Frodo. Just like we... What are you doing with the music, bud?
It ran out.
Well, Mr. Hendry...
Hold on, hold on. He's got to start the stinking music again. And now Phil Hendry and Frodo the Puppet.
Hey, Mr. Hendry, I know what you say about gay people are just like other people, right?
Yes, that's right, Frodo. Just like other people.
And it is true, you're not gay. I don't think I'm talking out of school.
No, I'm not gay.
Then why'd you touch the inside of my thigh?
Turn it off.
I didn't say the inside of the thigh.
Oh, really? What did you tell him?
He told me you touched me in the crack of my...
I'm going to kill you.
No, Mr. Henry, no.
Phil, you just beat up your hand again. Shut up.
I'm going to kill it this time for good. Now stick it in the... Put it in that drawer.
Mr. Hendry! Mr. Hendry!
Shut up!
Hey, Phil.
What?
Why don't you take a look at your hand, man?
What about it?
It's in the drawer.
Oh, God. Ow, 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 ow.
What an idiot!
You just showed... You put your hand in the drawer, man.
Ow. Ugh. Look at that puppet. It's ruined.
Who cares about the puppet? I don't like the stuff it says.
Yeah, but you're the guy that's saying it.
I didn't say it. The puppet. Oh.
Want me to get some ice?
Yeah, get a bag of ice. I just beat the hell out of my own hand.
Man, Mr. Hall gets a hold of this man.
Don't tell Hall. Well, it doesn't matter now. I guess he was listening.
Yep. Line two.
Oh, come on. Turn that music off before I flip my lid, will you? Yeah, what do you want?
Oh, well, get a load of you. What do you mean, what do I want?
Yeah, what do you want?
I think you know. You just beat the hell out of your hand and then tried to put it in a drawer. And you don't think you need 72-hour observation.
No, I do not. Thank you and good night.
Phil.
Don't you guys look at me with that look, okay? I'm fine.
I thought, hey, man, I ain't saying nothing.
I didn't say anything harder than get your hand out of the drawer.
And you didn't even have to say that. I would have figured it out sooner or later.
Yeah, like when?
Sooner or later, I would have figured it out. All right, so that was Frodo the... Well, that's the last time we're going to have him on the show.
Yeah, because you kicked the hell out of it.
Well, we got to get a new puppet, more than anything else. All right, so here is another interesting piece of news that we can just segue into. 72-hour observation.
Dan, I would.
Yeah, well, that's the difference between you and him and me. Let me tell you something, bud. What did I tell you about talking to that puppet?
Yeah, but you're the guy doing the voice.
Then if I'm the guy doing the voice, why are you talking to it and telling it to say stuff like you touched my butt?
Man, you ain't making no sense, man.
Who asked you?
I didn't say anything.
Glaxo agrees to pay $3 billion in a fraud settlement. Now get a load of this, folks. In fact, this story's so big, we'll continue it on the other side. Don't look at me like that. In the largest settlement involving a pharmaceutical company, the British drug maker GlaxoSmithKline agreed to plead guilty to criminal charges and pay $3 billion in fines. $3 billion, folks. In fines for promoting its best-selling antidepressants for unapproved uses and failing to report safety data about a top diabetes drug, according to federal prosecutors. It has been called by federal prosecutors the largest case of fraud in U.S. healthcare history. Now, a lot of these are what are called misdemeanor charges, but the amount of money is so significant, $3 billion, and you have to, and the other thing that you want to, of course, the other thing you want to keep in mind, folks, $3 billion. How much money do pharmaceutical companies have? Oh, yeah, sure. What do you need? We're going to fine you $3 billion. Okay. We'll set aside $700 million. That's for the lawsuits. Right. Then we have another billion, billion and a half for the fines. Right. Then we have another billion. We got lawyers' fees. Then we have, I mean, these cats, they're writing a check for $3 billion, and they're still in business. And they have settled accounts, and they're going to be right back rocking and rolling again, unless I ain't reading the story right. In May, Abbott Laboratories settled for $1.6 billion over its marketing of the antipsychotic drug Depakote, or whatever, how the hell you pronounce that.
Maybe you ought to be on that.
I'm going to kick some ass. Just wait till I get the others. I'll tell you who needs the antipsychotic medication. That puppet does. We'll be right back. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
The puppet got health care?
I don't know if the puppet has health care. What do you mean, is the puppet got health?
Phil Hendry. Listening to the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
And welcome back here on the world famous Phil Hendry Show. Now, a reminder that if you want to get a backstage pass to our website, that's a great way to enjoy our show. We have a live streaming video cast of every single show. So you not only can listen to our show, you can watch our show. And you do that by going to philhendryshow.com. You hit on that VIP backstage access link, it tells you all you need to know. And it's a pretty cost effective, fuel efficient, however you want to say it.
Yeah, pretty fuel efficient.
It ain't expensive, man. And you have access not only to our live video cast every day. We have a podcast of our broadcast. We have thousands of hours of archived show. I mean, daily, every day, going back over 15 years. Somewhere in the neighborhood. I mean, what, 13 years now, Robert?
Yeah, well, like when you first started on KFI, some of them shows.
All of our syndicated radio shows going back to 1999, so we're talking 13 years. And so much more, including on-demand video, on-demand interviews that we've done, on-demand video casts. So if you miss the show live, you can always see our video cast on-demand the next day in our five-day video archive. Plus, we have a full year video cast and audio of the Saturday night show we did locally here in Los Angeles. So check it out, Phil Hendry Show. com. All right, getting back to this story, you guys can say all you want to say, Bud, about how you think I'm nuts, okay?
Well, I'm just saying, baby, you need an antipsychotic.
Yeah, okay, fine. You know, I mean, you got me on that.
I mean, you did beat on your puppet.
Yeah.
If you guys are saying beat on your puppet as your funny ha-ha double entendre of the night, get it out of your system, otherwise I'm going to kick your asses out of the studio. Do you understand?
Well, you pounded on your dummy.
If you say it again, Bud, I'm going to belt you.
Well, all right.
Yeah, I bet. Did I hit you last week?
Yeah.
I'm going to do it again. You made your point, okay? You made your point.
Dummy. Ow!
Oh, shut up. Get out of here.
That hurt.
Tough.
Man, you really clocked him.
What did I tell him, man? And the same goes for you, too.
I didn't say anything.
You know, that guy, smartass on you, Bud, you just can't leave well enough alone, huh?
All I said was dummy.
You said dummy in a couple of other words. Glaxo agrees to pay $3 billion and quit with that phony baloney crying, too.
What?
Yeah.
I thought it sounded good.
Glaxo agrees to pay $3 billion in fraud settlement. So here's the bottom line on this, folks. Glaxo, which is a pharmaceutical company, the fine was over Paxil, Wellbutrin, Avandia, and other drugs that makes this a record year for money recovered by the federal government under its whistleblower law. In May, Abbott Laboratories, settled a $1.6 billion suit and series of fines over its marketing of the antipsychotic drug Depakote, Depakote, or whatever. And an agreement with Johnson & Johnson, what?
Dude, it sounds retarded.
Didn't I tell you to get out of here? Oh.
You ain't saying that good.
Maybe I ain't saying it good, but, you know. Anyway, an agreement with Johnson & Johnson that could result in a fine of as much as $2 billion is said to be imminent over its off-label promotion of another antipsychotic drug, Risperdal. See, what's going on here, folks, is this. Let me explain. There is a, like in so many other areas of life, I don't know whether we're having an economic downturn, there's no question, but there's also big things afoot in all kinds of businesses. I told you that there's a media revolution. You don't have to go for it. You guys know that. But I don't think you know the extent. I understand that everybody is aware of the fact they're using their computers, they're using their internet, and there's all kinds of there's a vast array of platforms they can access. But if you think a little bit about it, you will recognize that there's lots of companies behind all of these efforts, a lot of big old companies, a lot of small new companies, a lot of entrepreneurial efforts like my own and others. And so all of us are sort of, you know, finding our niches and doing battle for these different areas of communication, broadcast, entertainment, podcasting, and so forth. This is a huge shift in the way we used to access electronic entertainment, whether it's television or radio, cable or otherwise. So that's exciting. It leaves a lot of people out in the cold. It also opens the door for a lot of other people. So when we talk about economic downturns, we're talking about business shifting from, you know, one area to another. Now let's talk about the pharmaceutical companies. Well, what does that mean? It means drugs. And what are these drugs? When you hear the word antipsychotic, you probably think, crazy people. Well, the fact of the matter is this. What have I been telling you guys for the last 4 years? There's a revolution going on in pharmacology right now. There are amazing drugs that are being developed that are helping people for the very first time in the history of man on this planet. We are treating what we used to call manic depression, bipolar. We are treating schizophrenia. We are treating all kinds of psychosis. We are treating people's addictions. And we're doing this scientifically using pharmacology that is drugs. Psychiatrists are learning more. We now have a way of testing the brain to find out what kind of drug the brain may need. It's not a blood test. It's the use of EEGs, an EEG database. Psychiatrists can look at EEGs now and say, aha, this part of the brain is slow, this part is fast, this is the drug. This is a huge, huge moment in the history of science. It's happening right now. And so what's the downside? Well, the downside is you got some of these scum-sucking dogs in the drug business. Well, let's just make all these claims. They're making all of these claims they shouldn't be making. They're not reporting FDA information accurately. You know, they're playing it fast and loose and sloppy, just like the banks did, okay? Thinking they're going to get away with murder, thinking that, you know, money's growing on trees out there, you know, let's make hay while the sun shines. And so they get out and try to grab all they can. And guess what? They just got caught with their hand in the till. And this company, look at these companies that are getting fined. Johnson & Johnson. I mean, come on. When you grew up, I grew up with that name. We pretty much believed Johnson & Johnson. That's a sacrosanct name. I mean, you buy all their products. I mean, what the hell?
Baby oil, that's for sure.
Yeah, buy baby oil until you like, well, I better not say.
Yeah, never mind. Shampoo, all that stuff. Abbott Laboratories, I know that name. Now, this GlaxoSmithKline, I don't know, it's some sort of a merged company. But the point being, there's always somebody trying to squeeze a couple of more bucks, you know, where they ought to just leave well enough alone. There's always somebody trying to cut corners. Remember we were talking about psychopaths in business, which, by the way, is a mental condition that you cannot treat. In fact, it's not really a mental condition. It's just a type of abnormal personality. Psychopaths in the drug business, I can understand, well, those guys, they won't leave well enough alone. You get some guy who's just a born thief, and he can't leave well enough alone, so he's going to get insert himself into these companies as a salesman, as one of the guys in the marketing department. He's going to feed people a bunch of crap. He's going to tell somebody this is a great way to go because I can make us a couple of extra bucks and we don't have to do this and that and something else. We don't have to report to the FDA this stuff, or we don't have to report to the doctors what the FDA told us. It's fine. Don't worry about it. Doctors are out there doing this and that all the time. Well, guess what, pal? You got caught. Just cost your company $3 billion. No individuals have been charged in any of the cases because they've hidden themselves. Anyway, even so, the Justice Department contends the prosecutions are well worth the effort, reaping more than $15 in recoveries for every $1 it's spent by one estimate. But critics argue that even large fines are not enough to deter drug companies from unlawful behavior. Only when prosecutors single out individual executives, I agree, for punishment will practices begin to change. That's the truth. You start putting some of these scumbags in jail, watch what happens, man. That's the thing, you know? They haven't put enough of those Wall Street guys in jail to suit me. Not even close, man.
Yeah, but they put a lot of guys in jail.
They ain't put nobody in jail, man.
What about that Bernie Madoff guy?
Big deal. That's one guy.
What about those guys at WorldCom?
They put some cats in jail. Yeah, WorldCom, this, that. Every time they put a guy in jail off of Wall Street, it's big news, and you'd swear to God, man, they've just cleaned the whole block up. Oh, my goodness gracious. Look, all we put three whole guys in jail. For the stuff that's been going on that street, man, like 40% of those guys probably ought to be behind bars. I mean, half the stuff, the crap that's been going on, not to mention the whole banking industry. I mean, I'm telling you, how'd they get away with it? You know.
Yeah, but what about that guy from the Country Time?
Yeah, the Country Time Lemonade?
Country Time Lemonade? What are you talking about?
Yeah.
What do you mean Country Time Lemonade?
You never heard about Country Time Lemonade?
No.
They put a guy in jail because he was lending people money.
Country Time Lemonade? Are you talking about Countrywide?
Yeah, Countrywide.
Will you get out of here with Country Time Lemonade? I don't know what you're talking about.
Well, it's the same thing.
No, it ain't the same thing. No, it's not the same thing. One makes lemonade, the other mortgages for houses. Totally different.
Well, but I mean it like the same name.
No, it ain't even the same name. You guys are idiots. So anyway, yeah, well, that guy from Countrywide, he goes to jail. How many cats are walking, man? I know personally, I know people. I know people that were in that business. I know people that made loans that they knew sucked. I know people that made loans that they knew were lousy loans, but if they didn't make the loan, the guy across the street would. And I know they're walking around free as a bird today. All right, so there you go, folks. So this is what's happening. There's a shakeout happening. The way money is being made, the way money is being lent, the way drugs are being made, the way, you know, every facet of American business just about is sort of changing. It's changing the way it does business, the kind of people it hires, and at the same time, it's bringing in the same kinds of scumbags. You know, no matter where the business is, the pilot fish, the psychopathic scumbags will be following along, looking to see how they can drain a few dollars without actually doing the work. You know, they're always looking to find a way to make dollars without actually doing the work. So. That's the downside of this really amazing time that we're living in. We'll be right back here with our final segment on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Don't forget, Wednesday on philhenryshow.com, we roll out our very first Best of Ted Bell collection of downloads at philhenryshow.com. We'll be right back.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show. For more information on this and other great talk programs, go to talkradionetwork.com. This is the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
If you are watching Phil TV in HD, I've just curled my mustache into a handlebar mustache. Again, I'm kidding.
No, but you have.
You know, I did, but it's not like a big sell point here, okay? But I did. I just, this beard that I've got a bit of a, it's not even a goatee. It's just it's a beard that just covers my lip and my chin. This is coming off. But if you watch our video cast tomorrow, you're going to see a clean-shaven Phil Henry. And the reason why I'm warning you is because it always scares people, you know?
Yeah, because it looks so scary. Scared me the last time you done it.
Well, I'm so sorry, bud. Am I that ugly?
No, it's just that it's weird.
That does look weird, man. The one minute you got a beard and then you shave it off, you look all... It's all wrecked.
Yeah.
What do you mean it's all wrecked? What's wrong with that?
Well, I mean, you get everybody used to seeing you with a beard, then you take it off. It's like looking at you nude for the first time or something like that. It's jacked up.
Oh, get out of here. Grow up. So tomorrow, man, that's what's going to happen. All right. Some late news. Former Penn State head football coach Joe Paterno may have played a greater role than previously known in a decision made by university officials not to report a 2001 incident involving former coach Jerry Sandusky and a boy in a locker room shower. By the way, not to interrupt, and I apologize, because we will get back to the story. It's about what did Joe Paterno really know. But did you hear where Sandusky was getting, harassed by the other jail population?
Yeah, I heard about that. Yelling. They were singing that song.
Yeah, what were they singing?
They were singing, "Hey, teacher, leave those kids alone," over and over and over again. So they were like, oh, man. I don't know where they're going to put that guy. There's no way that they will put him with the sort of general population, if you will, given the reality of the sentiment in jail, in prison, toward child molesters and the like. They are not thought of fondly, and I'm putting it mildly. So he's going to have to be put in some kind of segregated unit. CNN does not have the emails, but the alleged contents were made available to CNN. We're talking about what Joe Paterno knew and when. A jury last month convicted Sandusky, as you know, the Nittany Lions former defensive coordinator, on multiple charges of sexually abusing 10 boys over a 15-year period. At Sandusky's trial, former Penn State grad Mike McQuarrie, former grad assistant Mike McQuarrie, testified he believed he saw sexual contact between Sandusky and a boy in the shower and told Paterno in February of 2001. Paterno, a revered Penn State icon who died in January, testified before a grand jury that when he learned about the situation, he contacted his then-boss athletic director Tim Curley, as required, and left it up to the university to investigate. In court documents, prosecutors say they have emails from university officials that allegedly contradict grand jury testimony of Curley and Penn State Vice President Gary Schultz, who oversaw campus police. The alleged emails, the contents of which were first reported by CNN, were among the other documents included, including a Sandusky file discovered by Penn State and turned over to state prosecutors as part of its ongoing investigations. One of the newly revealed alleged emails appears to show Paterno had another previously undisclosed conversation with Curley about the shower incident. On February the 26th, Penn State's vice president told Curley, the athletic director, to contact Sandusky, alert child welfare authorities, and inform Second Mile, the charity Sandusky founded for disadvantaged children, a purported email says. This is on the 26th of February. Remember that CNN says they haven't seen it, but they've been made aware of its contents. So,
what's that mean?
Well, it means exactly that. They haven't seen it, but they've been made aware of its contents. So that's, in other words, them saying, well, we have it on good authority, or sources tell us, something like that. After Curley spoke with Paterno, however, the athletic director allegedly told the school president that he had changed his mind about the best course to pursue. After giving it more thought and talking it over with Joe yesterday, says Curley in this email, I'm uncomfortable with what we agreed were the next steps. Now, remember, they said they were going to contact police, child welfare, Second Mile. They were going to do all the right things. But after talking it over with Joe, says Curley, allegedly in this email, he is now no longer comfortable with what they agreed would be the next steps. Instead of alerting authorities, Curley allegedly wrote he would prefer meeting with Sandusky, telling him they knew about another incident in 1998, offering him professional help. He suggests notifying the Second Mile at some point if Sandusky is cooperative, and maybe child welfare officials. If Sandusky did not cooperate, Curley suggested notifying both Second Mile and child welfare. So this guy Curley obviously had his finger on the trigger on all of this, but it's alleged by CNN that in these emails was a reference to a meeting he had with Paterno, who Curley said after talking it over with Joe.
That means that Paterno's guilty and everything.
Not necessarily, and here's why. If he says, oh, I talked it over with Joe, he didn't say what Joe said. He didn't say anything. He just, I talked it over with Joe, and now I've had second thoughts.
Yeah, but don't that mean that Joe told him to?
Not necessarily, man. What it means is, I talked it over with Joe, and after talking over with Joe, I've decided I'm going to do this. Maybe Paterno said something like, I don't think you have any choice, but you got to go to child welfare, and somehow that convinced him in the opposite direction.
Get out of here. You're just trying to cover up for Paterno.
Are you doing that on purpose?
What?
Paterno.
Well, who's the guy that, yeah.
No, that's the basketball coach, you moron. Now, how much the purported conversations between Paterno and Curley influenced the decision not to contact outside agencies, something Penn State was required to do under state law, is unclear, see? So even they are asking the question that I'm asking. An internal Penn State investigation headed by former FBI Director Louis Free also has turned up billing records from Penn State officials to the university's outside counsel around the time of the 2001 incident, showing Penn State was researching its legal obligations for reporting the assault, according to a source. Well, this is all about the Joe Paterno legacy, and I don't think there's any rescuing it from this. This ain't no good, man. But who knows? History is not written until some 20, 30 years after the event, and then not very well. World famous Phil Hendry Show is produced by Dan Northcraft and me, Phil Hendry. We have Neil West in tonight. The world famous Phil Hendry Show invites you to visit us online at philhendryshow.com, philhendryshow.com, where you can get live streaming video of this show, as well as access to our archives. All you got to do is get a backstage pass. And don't forget, we have our episode 13 of our podcast, and on Wednesday, it's the best of Ted Bell. Until tonight, let that be a lesson to you.
Phil Hendry.